As we remain standing, let's just pray. Father, as we come to consider your word, help us to have hearts and minds open to what you want to say to each one of us, and help us to be willing to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do please be seated. So we'll just start off with a little health warning. I'm sure most of you have realised over the past few months, quite a few months, I've had a really good cough. It's intermittent, but I am having some investigations and they are saying it's upper respiratory, so it is not infectious. So you have two prayers this morning. One is that I cough really early on and you don't get a sermon. The other is that I cough and you get wholesome. I don't cough and you get wholesome. So it's up to you. So I wonder how many of you trust sat-nav. So hopefully we might have a picture if you use one as you're travelling around. So Alex, our son, he travels around quite a bit for his work, usually at night, often in rural Norfolk. And he relies utterly on it, utterly. I think if you took it away from him, he probably wouldn't have a clue where he was. But it hasn't let him down, not that that's always the case, is it? Because I think cars can end up in rivers, if we have the next picture, along railway tracks. Lorries can get jammed between houses in narrow streets. You can be taken to the correct named village, but in the wrong country, from all accounts. And for football fans, if you order a taxi to go to Stamford Bridge, make sure it doesn't take you to North Yorkshire rather than West London. Common sense and a paper map, even if you have to hold it up the way you're going, which I do, can come in very useful on occasions, can't it? But these magi who visited Jesus, they travelled a long distance and they certainly didn't have a sat-nav to help them. They simply had a star in the east. Now, as I started to think about this talk, to be fair, we do the wise men most years. Frieda, it's her favourite passage, so she was very pleased to be reading that, I have no doubt. But I thought that I would be looking at what this star exactly was in the east and what made the wise men follow it, and sort of lead on to think about how God guides us today. We're quite good at putting hands up. How many of you are following this Follow the Star, the Church of England? Good. Actually, I needn't say the next bit then, if there's only two or three of us following. Some of us get daily emails, but there's this information as well. And they're just leading us through something to do with these wise men and Epiphany and things like that. And on Monday, when I sort of started thinking about this talk, I read, it says, "Even now, no one knows for sure what the star of Bethlehem was. Some say it was a comet. Some say it was the light that comes from a new star being born. Whatever the truth is," this is the Church of England saying this, "whatever the truth is, we do know that there was something out of the ordinary about what the wise men saw." If you know me, you can well imagine that I do not make extra work for myself. So if the Church of England have said nobody knows what this star was, then I'm going to take their word for it. But I do believe, actually, through the Church of England, which is possible, God was just redirecting my thoughts for this talk. But it does still seem to important to consider how we hear God, how we hear from God, how he leads us individually and corporately. Because as Andy's already said, we are preparing for a new and exciting turn of events next week when the church plant, led by Andy and Dawn, are being commissioned. And in some way, every single one of us will have needed to hear from God about whether we stay or whether we go, as well as about other things. So we're not going to consider what the star was. It was there and it led them. And we know, probably we know, that there's a lot of legend. Thank you. Can we have the next picture? There's a lot of legend about the wise men. There's no reason to presume there were three. There's no reason to presume they were kings. There's no reason to presume we know their names. For centuries, Magi had been a tribe of priests in Persia, but the name had also come to apply to magicians and astrologers. Whoever they were, there was something in the sky, like the Church of England said, that compelled them, that compelled these men to journey to Judea to find out what it meant. They travelled a long way, they endured hardships on the journey, and they really didn't know where they were going. They had to ask, where is the one who had been born King of the Jews? As Andy said, epiphany, it means sort of a moment of great realisation. Thank you. Can we have the next slide? It means a moment of great realisation, great understanding. Something's made clear. And the Magi knew, they knew that they needed to follow. They needed to take gifts. They didn't understand everything, but they were compelled to journey. So what is it? What is it that compels us to do things? What is it that compels us to do things when we believe God is calling us? What epiphany moments do we have? Big things like career moves and relationships. Little things like contacting a person that God's put on your heart. All are important. That's what God's calling us to. And we need to respond to all of them. So how do we hear God? How do we hear him? He has promised, hasn't he? He's promised that he will guide us and he will lead us as we walk with him. Thank you. So our relationship with God is so important as we pray, as we read scriptures, as we worship, as we spend time in his presence. And it's often during these times that we get a sense of where God is leading us. Perhaps another piece makes something a bit clearer. Or some peace that we get, P-E-A-C-E, that means we know to just wait and be patient. When we read scripture, there may be words that jump out at us. And it's not just open the Bible and stick a pin in it so that we see what God's saying. It's being persistent and consistent in our Bible reading, getting to know scripture, getting to know what God is saying generally. If God's asking you to do something, it will not be contrary to what is in the Bible. And as we seek God's leading, well, there are wise people about, people that we know and trust, who may be able to pray with us or help us think things through. Although ultimately, when we make decisions, it's between us and God. And as Christians, we know we have the Holy Spirit, and he leads us and directs us to understand more. And as I said at the beginning with SatNav, God has given us common sense as well and natural gifts. And he often wants us to use those in his work. And if you've read your Bible, you'll know that there's also more unusual ways that God uses infrequently. Dreams, visions, angels, perhaps an audible voice, writing on the wall, as he did with Belshazzar's feast in the book of Daniel. Those are all more extreme and more unusual. But if we are listening and looking, and gradually things will become clearer as we hear God's word, as we hear and understand a bit of what he wants us to do and where he wants us to be. But do remember, each one of us is unique. It doesn't happen the same for the next door person as it does for you. And we all need to take time to think and pray. Some people think and pray, and when they have peace, they go ahead. And sometimes the opposite happens. I know on several occasions I have had no peace until I've pursued a course of action. As we listen to God, we need to remember God is God, and he can do things how he wants. And he's also big enough if we mess up. But as you hear God, or as you think you hear God, what's your response? What's your response to where you believe God is leading you to? In that passage that we read, the wise men, the magi, there's three different responses to that star in the sky. There's three different responses, and I would say that sometimes we might do any of those. So we've seen, haven't we? Thank you. We've seen already that the wise men, they were compelled to follow the star. They felt compelled, even though they didn't understand everything. They took gifts, they worshipped, and they responded in a positive way. Then there was Herod's response. Now, he was rather concerned, wasn't he? He was concerned when those magi came looking for the king of the Jews. You see, he was called the king of the Jews, and as far as he was concerned, there could only be one, and that was him. And so he was threatened, he was troubled. He had authority. He had success. Under him, Israel had prospered. He'd masterminded great projects. He'd built entire cities. He'd built fortresses. He'd quadrupled the size of the temple. He had been successful. But he was also ruthless. Anybody that he perceived to be a threat to him, he was ruthless with. And the people knew this. He'd had people in his own family executed because they were a threat. So this same star in the sky that the Magi felt compelled to follow, Herod was threatened and troubled by. And then, I don't know, did you notice the third response? Because as soon as Herod was asked, he went to the teachers of the law and the chief priests. He straight away says to them, "Where is the Christ to be born? This is the saviour that those chief priests and teachers had been waiting for. They'd been waiting for him for hundreds of years." And Herod asks the chief priests, "Where is this saviour?" And they tell Herod, they tell him that Christ will be born in Bethlehem in Judea. And then we don't hear anything else about them. There seems to be, thank you, Phil, there seems to be a complete indifference and apathy to this information. Those chief priests, those teachers, they don't investigate, they don't search him out. Perhaps you can well imagine that they just point, "Oh, Bethlehem, over there," and then they get on with something that they think is important. They don't seem to have taken on board anything that's been said. This star seems to have had no meaning to them. Complete indifference and apathy. Three different responses. Compelled to follow, feeling threatened, indifference and apathy. And the chances are that we've all responded in any one of those three ways on different occasions. So sometimes we hear God's word, we follow, we trust his prompting, we know his peace, and he can do amazing things through us. But sometimes God's prompting can also make us feel threatened. If we've got things in our lives that we don't actually want to hand over, and we all have habits and pleasures and distractions that we don't want to give up, may not be helpful in our relationship, but we can feel threatened if God is challenging us to do something or to give those things up. Jesus is king, and we need to acknowledge his authority over the whole of our lives. Jesus needs to be Lord of all. And then perhaps on occasions we can also be a bit indifferent to the wonder of God speaking. You know, we've just celebrated the birth of Jesus, the Saviour of the world, who through his death and resurrection has given us eternal life. What an amazing message. And yet I, and probably you, despite hearing that, can so often get caught up with the practicalities of doing church things or family things, that I forget the wonder and the awe of the gospel message. I don't know how many of you have seen or read this book, The One About. It's from Mark Green of LICC, which is the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. And it's just 8 little stories about how God has led and prompted 8 people who consider themselves fairly insignificant, but who God has just prompted to do things, and they heard his voice and they responded. There's a story of an elderly couple who, with their free bus pass, ride on the buses, and they strike up conversations with people who they feel God is leading them to. There's a story of a teenager who, as a Christian, was going to university and didn't want to get caught up with the alcohol drinking culture. And he was good at rugby, he was in the rugby team. And so instead of drinking alcohol, he offered to drink the same quantity of milk instead. And that's fairly disgusting, but of course he was sober all the time, and he was able to just witness in that way. And there's a story of a young mum who was so organised. She was so organised that she found people popping around was just a bit of an interruption, until she realised that this was God's way of using her skills and her time. All of these people were listening to God, were being obedient in seemingly small ways, but God used them in amazing ways. We all have decisions to make, don't we? Not just about the new church at St Nick's as they start to grow a congregation, and those of us here at St Matthew's as we regrow our congregation. We all need to hear God and know what he's asking us to do. So starting with this week, with the prayer times, let's just put ourselves purposely to hear what God is saying. And let's be like those magi as we respond positively and wholeheartedly, even if we don't understand completely the bigger picture. Let's pray. Gold for a king born in a stable. Frankincense for God who became flesh and blood. Myrrh for the man who died but rose again. Lord Jesus, these gifts were given to you, but you gave yourself to us so that we might have the gift of everlasting life. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive you afresh today. In Jesus' name, amen.